Lemieux. The center penalty coming up. Look at Lemieux. Oh, my heavens. What a goal. What a move. Lemieux. Oh, baby. Gary Curry. McSorley. Pogrecki. Scores. He did it. He did it. The greatest goal scorer in National Hockey League history. Scores. A magnificent goal.
He's been going in on goal. He shoots.
Welcome back, Razz Ballers. Welcome back to the Razz Ball Fantasy Hockey Podcast. This is Reed once again, joined by Viz. So let's get into the action. There is not a whole lot on the injury front.
No.
I believe the only injury we have is Ryan Getzlaf. Is that right?
Yeah, it's a change of pace from how it's been lately. He's going to miss Wednesday night's game, lower body injury. You know, he hasn't skated, but the good thing is it doesn't sound long-term at all. I wouldn't be shocked if he's back this weekend. At the latest, I'd guess, you know, next week at some point. The Ducks don't seem overly concerned about it, so I'm not going to be concerned about it. So,
yeah, not really much to worry about.
No.
Gibson gets a start there. So,
yeah. I mean, other than that, it was nice to see nobody go down over the last 2 days. You know, granted, there wasn't a ton of games, but nevertheless, lately there's been 8 to 10 guys, it seems like, every single time we do a podcast, who went down, and this time only looking at Getzlaf, so that's nice to see.
Yeah. All right, I guess we should get into a recap of the games.
Yeah, we might as well.
Yeah,
Monday,
okay.
And Tuesday.
All right, let's pull off the Monday games here and see what we got. We had the outdoor games that, I guess, during the last podcast we were sort of live,
yeah,
commenting on. Blues 4-1, Tarasenko with one fluky-looking goal, and then another beauty.
Mm-hmm.
Again, he's just been a stud. The Blackhawks have been in a slump. Tonight they get the Sabres, who had a pretty impressive win over the Rangers.
Definitely.
Although I couldn't tell if the Rangers were just mailing it in.
They were super flat, but at the same time, the Sabres took it to them and they didn't let up at all, which was nice to see. I mean, they had just blown a 2-0 game to Boston, and you know, they went up 2-0 fairly early in the game, and they stayed all over them, got the third goal, and you know, Rangers got one back, but it didn't make a difference. Like you said, Chicago was slumping a bit. I mean, they're in first, but you know, they're really in second. They're 1 point out of Minnesota. Minnesota's got 4 games in hand. It's looking, I mean, granted, we're only at the halfway point of the year, but it's looking like we're going to have another first-round Blackhawks-Blues series this year, which would be excellent. I mean, that was a great series last year, 7-gamer. But, I mean, for the Blackhawks, not much else has changed. It's more of the same for their team. We know who's good in fantasy and who's not. No one's really come out of nowhere recently. For the Blues, again, yeah, it starts with Tarasenko. He's, you know, 2 goals on 9 shots. Fabry's coming on at 2 assists. Alex Steen is an interesting guy. He had a goal and assist in the game, but he's had 20 points in 32 games, 31 penalty minutes, which is great, but he's minus 11, and he's been a guy for years who's at 3 shots or slightly above. He's under 1.5 a game right now. He's at 45 in 32 games. So if he goes through a cold streak, I'd probably be fine with just cutting him, which I didn't expect to see at any point this year. But, I mean, he's got 3 shots total the last 5 games. You know, if he's not contributing in points, he's not worth holding for horrible shots and a terrible plus-minus right now.
Yeah, I was definitely surprised that Steen has been this sort of bad.
Yeah, I mean, for the last 5 years, he's on a per-game basis, he's been a top 50 player. It's just that he always missed 10 to 15 games. But this year, he's been relatively healthy. He's missed about 5 or 6 games, and it's just, I don't know what it is. The minutes are there, you know, it's just getting back, taking shots. It's really that simple. If he starts to do that, then there's absolutely no worries. You could stomach a poor plus minus. I mean, it's not dreadful, but a bad one when he's contributing in all the other categories. But he's only got 4 goals because he's not shooting the puck. So you'd basically be holding him for assists and penalty minutes, and the penalty minutes are even, you know, a little fluky. You can't expect 80 penalty minutes from Steen. So just something to keep an eye on. He's not the for sure hold he's been in the past. Jake Allen gave 1 goal on 23 shots. I mean, it's a little disappointing. You know, the save percentage only at 905, and the goals against at 262. It's almost at the level of the Dallas goalies last year, where you know you're getting great wins, but you're going to get hurt a little bit in the process. And there is some hope that Allen turns it around, but at this point, he's probably more of a number two, maybe like even pushing a bottom end number two than a number one.
Yeah, I definitely think he's a lower end number two. At least that's where I have him right now. I tried to stay away from him, mainly because I just wanted to see how, because St. Louis played very well in front of Brian Elliott last year, and I just wanted to see what they were going to do with the different goalie back there, because even when Jake Allen played last year, it wasn't like he was putting up amazing numbers.
Right.
Yes, he got wins, but it really came down to the team just played better in front of Elliott, and sometimes it's a little bit weird where a team, like, yes, one goalie might be more talented than another, but the team just, for some reason, plays better in front of the less talented goalie.
Yeah, they know they have to play better that game to have a chance. It might be part of it. The other thing too is he might just be a guy who does better when he sees more shots. Like,
you mean the the Jonas Hiller effect?
Yeah, I mean, even like Craig Anderson's the same way. Like, he only is facing, you know, 20 shots. The game before this one, he faced 14 shots against Nashville, gave up 3 goals. So I mean, if obviously in the long run, if he's facing less shots, his goals against is going to be better. But maybe that's somewhat hurting his save percentage. I don't know. It's a little disappointing. I thought he was going to be a bottom end number one, but it hasn't been there to this point.
Yeah, Blackhawks again. They just haven't been very good lately. Though they're 23-12-5. Another Panarin assist. Again, you're just going to roll your top guys.
Yeah.
That's pretty much all you own on Chicago anyways. It's really tough to justify owning any of the depth guys.
No. Yeah, there's no one.
Yeah, that's about it for that game.
Yeah.
Bruins, Devils. Bruins coming off back-to-back wins against the Sabres. Put up an absolute stinker. The Devils won 3-0. Corey Schneider with a shutout. We'll get to it because they played Tuesday night, and Corey Schneider again had another excellent game against the Hurricanes.
Yeah, we might as well just put these two games together. So Schneider, 22 save shutout, and then he had 28 of 29 on Tuesday. A month ago, we talked about Schneider and whether he was going to bounce back, and I said that December is going to be rough, but if you try to buy low at the end of December, it's going to pay off. And because if you remember, their schedule was Rangers twice, Pittsburgh twice, Capitals twice, Blues twice. It was just horrible, and obviously yeah, Schneider didn't do well. Now, I mean, the Bruins, they're a one-line team, basically. He gets 2 great games to start the new year. The schedule eases up quite a bit now, so if you could still buy low on Schneider, I would try to do it. I mean, he's had such a history of being a top 5 goalie in fantasy, let alone top 10, that I would feel pretty strong about his second half potential. If you have held him this whole time, I would definitely hold tight. I wouldn't sell him at this point. I think we're going to see the number one goalie in the second half that we've seen in the past few years.
Yeah, I agree. I'm a big Corey Schneider fan. I was talking to you before we hit the record button again. I took him and Ben Bishop with like my 34th picks in one of these drafts, or second and third picks. One of these drafts just to increase the amount of goalies and wins and better numbers. Since I usually always struggle with it, I think Ben Bishop didn't help. Corey Schneider started off very slowly, but the Devils are not a very good team, especially defensively. They surprisingly put up a decent amount of goals. I don't think scoring is really the problem for them. It's the defensive depth they have.
Besides Severson,
it's pretty bad.
Right, and he's not even that great. I mean, they have one of the worst defensive cores in the league for sure.
Yeah.
I mean,
hopefully, I don't even know if help's on the way, but I'm trying to think of a prospect they might have that's a year or two away, but I'm struggling to come up with one, which isn't a good sign.
No, it's not too great, that's for sure. I got to imagine that's going to be their focus in the next draft or two drafts. Taylor Hall had a two-point game against Boston. Henrique, Camilleri, Palmieri had two-point games against Carolina.
Again, the top guys from the Devils are the ones that are putting up points. Right. Devontae Smith probably 2.9.
No, I mean, Camilleri was in a big cold streak. I probably would still hold him. I mean, Henrique is in the same business. I feel like he's got a hot streak in him playing with Hall. If I had to pick one of them, it would probably be Camilleri, but it's marginal. I mean, I think you could cut Camilleri if you have a league where you can stream a lot. I think that's fine. But it's really just, you know, those four guys. Severson, you can hold a pet if you could stomach the plus-minus. I mean, he's minus 22 right now. It's pretty horrible. I mean, the penalty minutes are great, the assist, power play points, but he's in, like, that Tyson Barrie group of guys, but even a lower tier than Barrie, where they're going to bury him plus-minus, and you have to decide if you want to deal with it or not. Other than those guys, you know, Parenteau's a solid streamer. That's about it with the Devils right now. I mean, I guess Zaka, you know, he moved up to the top line Tuesday. He didn't do much. He played 18 minutes. He'll be another guy. Right now, I'm not even streaming him, but I'll be taking the flyer on him again next year, hoping that year two is the breakout. I mean, he's worth keeping an eye on just to see how he does in the second half of the season. Maybe, you know, does something to build off into next year.
Yeah, I agree. It's definitely going to come down for Zaka. It'll be, does he finish this year strong? It's definitely one of those. We'll see him next year.
For sure.
I think he can put up a 45-point season.
Yeah, at least. I wouldn't be surprised even more. If I had him in a dynasty, like, I wouldn't be panicking or anything.
You know, no, not at all. But I think we should move on to the next game, including which involves the worst team in the league. Not the Vancouver Canucks, like both you and I predicted going into the season, who are somehow at the full 500 mark at 18-18-3.
Yeah.
They score a 3-2 win over the complete dumpster fire that is the Colorado Avalanche. The Avalanche are 12-24-1 right now. Jesus Christ, they are bad.
It's really horrible.
That's a team where I could... All right, I believe that Matt Duchene gets traded. I'm pretty sure you agree with me that at some point.
I mean, they have to. I mean, it sucks. Because you hate trading away. Well, he's not going anywhere. I don't think either. He's the captain, and like you said, he's been hurt. It wouldn't make much sense. He's locked up to a good deal. I mean, so is Duchene. It sucks trading away these core guys. It's like they moved O'Reilly. They didn't get shit back, relatively speaking. Duchene could be like an off-season move, but they have to get some. It has to be a trade like the Johansson for Seth Jones type of trade. They have to get somebody proven that's elite on the back end back, or it doesn't make any sense. I mean, obviously, they're not going to trade McKinnon. That would be stupidity. So if they want to add more guys, it has to be Duchene. I mean, you look at their forwards again, you got Landeskog, McKinnon, Duchene, clear holds. Rantanen is a solid streamer, and that's it. Like, they have to be trading a Ginla to somebody, hope someone takes him as a rental. If they can get anything for Bork, if they can get anything for even Soderberg, which I doubt anyone would take right now.
No, because he has a bad contract.
Yeah, he's at like $4.5 million, and he looked deserving. Last year he had 51 points. This year he's just been a mess. He's got 10 points. Defensively, Barry's on a 4-game point streak. We know Barry's going to get you 50 points. Like, he's done it three straight years now. Or, you know, he had 49 last year, but he missed 4 games. You know what? But he's minus 20, so you have to decide if you want to eat that or not. If not, then you can cut him. That's fine, and let it be someone else's problem. But that's it. Like, they don't even have other guys I would even want to stream on this team. It's so bad. With Eric Johnson being down, too, I mean, he's fringe defenseman too when he's healthy, but it's just horrible. They are a mess, and I guess trading Duchene would make sense if they do get lucky enough to win the lottery or something, but I don't know. They got a lot of problems, that's for sure.
Yeah, they're a complete mess right now. And
we're starting to see some hope.
This upcoming draft, there aren't really, I think there's the one Swedish defenseman, and that's pretty much it in terms of top 10 players. Like, there's, like, if you're an Avalanche fan and you're looking for them to draft a defenseman with their first round pick this year,
it's really
tough to justify.
No, if they're picking one, then like you have to take, you're either taking Nico Hischler, the Swede, or you're taking Nolan Patrick. You can't take the Swedish kid. I think it's Liljegren. I'm trying to remember, but
Liljegren.
I don't know.
Hischler is Swiss, not Swedish, but the same point regardless.
Oh, that's shit. My fault. I meant Swiss too. I almost said it again. It's those two are ahead of whoever you have next, so they would have to take a center, one of those two guys, which, you know, that's even more reason why if they can move Duchene, I guess it becomes easier. But it's like Duchene is not even in his prime yet. Like, he's been around, but he's still only 25 years old. So, I don't know. It's tough to see them digging out of this hole, at least foreseeable future, because when you look at that division, you have Chicago, who's going to be good for a while still with Kane and the rest. Minnesota's coming on strong. They got a nice young core too. Blues, obviously, Nashville, Dallas, and then the only other mediocre team right now is Winnipeg, but they have arguably the best young talent in the league, at least the best young line with Laine, Scheifele, and Ehlers. Like, Colorado has a great young 3-2, but they don't have the supplements that Winnipeg does, and Winnipeg is coming, let alone, you know, they have Hellebuck too, and it's rough times for Colorado, that's for sure.
Yeah, I agree. It's definitely going to be hard for Colorado, at least, I mean, in the next 5 years.
I mean, they could be foreseeably in the playoffs. You know, in 2 years, maybe three. I mean, it's not hard to make the playoffs, in all honesty. But to be a serious contender, they don't have much of the core in place that they need to have. So,
yeah, I know Tyson Joseph looked good in the World Junior Championship.
Yeah, they have some pieces. I mean, like I said, I have been impressed with Rantanen when I watch him. So, if they did keep Duchene, you got four solid guys for your top six. Then whoever they draft this year, and we have no reason to believe that we should do that. Then let alone, like, say you do have a great top six. I mean, the Sabres are in that bowl right now too, and they're around fake 500. Like, it's no guarantee to do anything, especially if one of your guys goes down, then you're just gutted. So they're in a rough place right now. The young guys on the Canucks are showing something now. They're not obviously in the same tier as MacKinnon and those guys, but Sven Berchi had 2 goals on 5 shots. He's starting to show why he was a top pick for the Flames. 22 points in 36 games. I mean, he has 0 penalty minutes, which is nice in real life, but sucks in fantasy. +2 on a terrible Canucks team. He's an elite streamer right now, and I think it's kind of close, depending on your league settings. Horvat, he had a goal, too, in this game. He's had 26 points in 39 games. I mean, that's a 55-point pace.
And him and Henrik Sedin are pacing the Canucks right now.
Right.
In terms of leading the team in points.
I mean, last year, Horvat was minus 30. I mean, they threw him into the fire trying to be the shutdown guy. Obviously, he wasn't capable, but they didn't have any alternatives. I mean, the Cyborgs were never good defensively. Even when they were making their cup runs, it was Kessler doing the dirty work. This year he's only -1. He's in the same role, which is very encouraging. I wrote in my post the other day, like, I can already see myself in, like, the preseason next year writing a Bo Horvat 2017 fantasy sleeper post, because everything's in place for him to succeed and even go another step further than where he is right now.
And the Canucks, did they play last night? No, they did not.
No.
Okay. I guess we can move on. Just to kind of go into the games from Tuesday night. Not kind of, I mean, we're going into the games. But we sort of touched on the Devils against the Hurricanes. Carolina had a ton of shots. I mean, they had 29 shots. They outshot New Jersey 30 to 18.
Yeah, I mean, 30 doesn't seem like a lot in a normal game, but going against the Devils, it's quite a bit.
Yeah, and of course, Jeff Skinner was my three-point contest entry. He had no points. He had six shots on net, though, four and a half minutes of power play time. So, I mean, you win some, you lose some with him. But
he's
trying to get 3 points. You want a guy to have six shots on net.
Yeah, I mean, him and Rask are both ice cold right now. They haven't had a point in five straight. I mean, I'm still holding tight on both. It's definitely Skinner. I don't think it's close with him because he's going to contribute in shots at the least in decent penalty minutes. Rask, I'm still going to give it a little time. I mean, he still had 26 points in 37 games, so it's worth holding. Aho scored again and a goal on three shots. Point in four straight games. The shots are the bigger thing. 3-5, 3-7. So he's had about 2.5 a game now. It's an elite stream. Kind of close to a hold at this point. Like, same thing with Horvat. I could see Aho being a favorite sleeper of ours next year. We basically said that in the preseason that we liked him a bit this year, but we think, you know, year two or three, I'm thinking year two already because the minutes are starting to come up and it's coming with points too.
Yeah, and we got to talk about his linemate then. Teuvo Teravainen traded from Chicago because they needed to do something to get, I believe it was Brian Bickle.
Yeah, it was Bickle.
Yeah, it was Bickle's contract off Chicago's books. Those two, and NHL.com is not doing us any favors, or any of you any favors, by saying they're an underrated duo.
Mm-hmm.
Because you want to pick those guys up. Right now, I'd roll them. I'd pick both of them up. I mean, they had three shots in the game.
Mm-hmm.
You roll both of them, you got a goal and an assist. I mean, they're playing more, they're playing together. The minutes are up on both of them. It's going to start to look like in Carolina where you have two powerful offensive lines,
mm-hmm.
where you have the Rask-Skinner combo and then the Teravainen-Aho combo. And then Jordan Staal, the Neanderthal, can go back to his ways of being the defensive shutdown center that he is instead of doing things like shooting the puck and playing the power play.
Go ahead.
No, I mean, I think it's one of those things where if you have those two dual lines of the dual, like, high-skilled forwards, that's where you're going to win because then defensive matchups from the other team aren't going to look as bad.
Right.
You can't just, normally, each team has one, like, true shutdown pair, and that's normally their top pair.
Right.
But what do you, like, which line do you try and stop?
Yeah, they're going to focus on Skinner for sure.
Right. Next year, sorry about that, the mic just dropped. So next year, when you're looking at this, it's definitely going to be where you'd have, like, those four will be drafted, and I think.
Definitely.
Clear holes.
Yeah. I mean, Teravainen, 5-game point streak, I'm fine with them either way. At the least, they're great, you know, mid value. DFS options to save money for cap relief. I mean, there's no doubt about that at this point. I would prefer Aho over him just for more shots, but you're right. Next year, I think we see Carolina. I think Carolina probably ends up being a playoff team next year, especially if they finally get a different goalie. I mean, Ward's been okay, but still.
Yeah, I agree. And then the young defense corps.
Right, they just got one more year for all the guys. Slavin
and Hanifin took most of the power play time with Falk out. So, I mean, if you were going to try and stream a Carolina defenseman, those are probably the two that you'd want.
Yeah, I don't Maybe really even care Ron for Hainsey either.
Too. He hasn't been too bad lately.
No, yeah, in a deeper league for Hainsey, because he blocks a lot of shots too, they're all bottom end. I don't think any of them are really 12-er worthy right now, but if you're desperate, I guess, I don't know who I would even pick most out of them. Maybe Slavin, he's getting the biggest minutes. I don't know.
Yep. All right, let's take a look at our Buffalo Sabres. They go in and, I mean, we talked about how much of a surprise this was.
Yeah.
I really do not understand
No, my brother was telling me he's a big Rangers fan before the game, so I went over, watched the game. He's like, yeah, I'm feeling like a 7-0 game right now. And I'm like, shit, I wouldn't even be surprised. And instead, the Sabres just dominated from the beginning to the end. The Rangers were so flat. It was kind of remarkable how easy the Sabres had it. I mean, they played very well. I don't want to take away from them, but the Rangers were just a mess. I thought the JT Miller line with Lindbergh and Faust was solid for them. That they were out there for the goal, but the other lines were horrible. It was bizarre to see, really.
Yeah, Jimmy VC did not have a good game.
No.
It seems like he just cannot play well against Buffalo. Even in their first game, these teams played against each other. VC did not look that good.
No, he's a fine streamer. I would not be holding him at this point. I mean, he's on pace for 40 points, and with below average shots and below average penalty minutes, it's just not worth it. He's a fine streamer still, especially when Nash gets back, which should be any day now, because they play together. Nash has played very well all year, but he's not a hole like he was at the beginning of the year.
No, not at all. All right. I think one of the biggest takeaways that a lot of people aren't talking about, Henrik Lundqvist looked fucking horrible in this game. He stopped 15 shots on 15 shots he saved, but he faced 19, gives up 4 goals on 19 shots. I guess I could not have worded that earlier any more awkwardly if I tried. But I have dogs barking in the background, so I'm like trying to look and see if they're interfering with the recording and whatnot. But yeah, to this.
On one hand, the numbers are absolutely atrocious. On the other hand, his team did him no favors. And you think, look at the goals. I mean, the fourth goal was Eichel on a tap in on 2 beautiful passes. The Kane goal was a 2-on-1 that he made a great save on Reinhardt that Kane put in the rebound that he had no chance on. Zemgus Girgensons goal, open in front, went backhand. And Bailey's goal was just a horrible giveaway by Klein, and then Bailey toe-dragged him as he slid by and buried it. That Lundqvist, I assume, would want back because it went through him. That's, like, the biggest question mark. Like, I don't know. He didn't get much help from his team. I'd expect him to bounce back. I mean, we're recording this Wednesday. I don't know if he's going to play. I assume Ronce is going to play against Philly. They haven't announced that yet, but I mean, they have their week off after Saturday. They play Columbus Saturday, and then they don't play again until next Friday. So I think it'll be good for the Rangers to get some time off and reboot, because they've already played 40 games, which is as much as anybody else. Their schedule has been pretty compact, and I don't know. I'm not too worried about it for Lundqvist. It was more just a horrible game from the team from top to bottom, in all honesty.
Yeah, the Sabres, again, lowered their power play efficiency despite going 1-for-5.
Yeah.
I bet a lot of teams would like to lower their power play percentage by going 1-for-5 in a game. They went into the game with the 7th best power play in the league. So, obviously...
That's with missing, you know, Eichel for a huge chunk, O'Reilly for a chunk now. It's one of the lone bright spots of this team for the whole year has been the power play. I mean, really, the two takeaways for me is just more of the same. Reinhardt with another 2 assists and Kane with another goal. They're both must-own to me right now, and they're still widely available.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely on board with that. They called up Justin Bailey to play with Kane and Reinhardt. I'm pretty sure the only way it works is if Kane and Eichel do not play on the same line.
Yeah, I don't see that happening anytime soon. Not with the way Kane's playing. They're not going to change it up. I mean, for deep leagues, I don't mind Bailey as a streamer right now while he's on the second line. There is some upside in dynasties for him to be like a 15 to 20 goal scorer. That wouldn't shock me. So, you know, that is value in a 16-20-man league, so just keep an eye on him. Eichel had a goal on his only shot. It was beautiful passes. Molson had a power play assist on that goal. He's a decent streamer while he's on the first unit and should be owned in deep leagues just for the power play points. Anders Nielsen, he needed 24 saves. He didn't have to do too much. His numbers are pretty solid, though, and he's probably worth streaming the majority of games at this point.
Yeah, I mean, he usually gets starts at, again, we were talking about teams that somehow play better in front of goalies that are less talented. I don't think Nielsen is as talented as Robin Leonard, but the Sabres just seem to be playing better in front of Nielsen.
Yeah, that's something that used to happen in the past, too. Like, after they first got rid of Miller, Enroth played much better than the alternatives, but they would always play horrible. I remember the first year the Sabres bombed. I think he only had like one win in his first, I want to say like 18 starts or something like that, even though his numbers were much better than the backups. So, I don't know. It does hold some water to that theory, though. It's worth keeping an eye on. I mean, I don't know if they'll go right back to him on Thursday against Chicago. That's obviously not the greatest spot. I don't know. It's worth keeping an eye on. If you need a goalie start and you're desperate, I think he's a solid option to stream.
Yeah, I agree. Sam Reinhart we talked about he was on a 16-point streak. They went back and changed one of the goals from one of the previous games.
Yeah, on New Year's Eve, he sniped a goal. It was a great pass by Reinhart across to Risto, who drop passed it, and apparently it must have hit Okposo going through on the way in, so it took away Reinhart's assist. But regardless, you know, it's 7 points in seven games now with these two, and he looks extremely well, playing with a ton of confidence at center, so definitely should be owned everywhere at this point, I think.
Yeah, again, two assists, like he's up to 23 points.
Yeah.
So we were talking beforehand, again, before we hit the record button, I feel like we should do like a subtle record, like a sort of like an outtakes type thing. I have two players on my team, and it's for one of the, I think it's an RCL. No, it's one of the yearlies. Yeah, it's the yearlies because I have Tyler Seguin. And my team... So I have two players. I have Sam Reinhart and I have Joe Thornton. Now, Joe Thornton was drafted with a... He probably had an average draft position of around 55.
No, it was higher than that.
Really?
Yeah, I'm bringing it up now. I had him the lowest everyone on Fantasy Pros, and that was 53.
All right, actually,
35. So you're looking at... tail end of the third round or early fourth round, probably. I mean, I can read it off to you. The
seven people on
Fantasy Pros had him ranked 18th, 27th, 28th, 31, 40, 48. I had him 53.
Okay, I drafted him with a 45th pick in our 12?
Yeah.
10 team. Yeah, it's a 12 man. Yeah. Okay. I drafted... Is it a 12 man? No, we're in a 10 man.
Oh, our money league?
Yeah, the money. Yeah. No, okay, so in a 10-man league, I drafted him 45th overall. He was in the middle of the fifth round of getting started. Now, I drafted Sam Reinhart in the 11th round with 105th pick.
Right, which is even higher than you probably had to. I mean, I'll bring him up too, because I know I was highest on him. He's 155th. I had him 116th. He was 144th, was the next highest. ESPN's Sean Allen had him 198. Their staff rankings had him 223.
So. All right, so Reinhart has 8 goals and 15 assists, 8 penalty minutes. He's a +1 on a team that sucks, which is very impressive. He's got 81 shots on net and 10 special teams points. Joe Thornton has 2 goals, 23 assists, so he's got 2 more points, but 6 fewer goals. He's a +6 and a +-3. Kind of close. He's got 26 penalty minutes, although, again, as we talked about before the podcast, 14 of those penalty minutes came in one game to Joe Thornton. So, figure 12 to 8 in your plus minus, in your penalty minute comparison. And then Joe Thornton has 40 shots on net to Reinhart's 81, and both have 10 special teams. So, I guess last year the comparison was I did, at least entering this season, I did Braden Shen versus Jonathan Toews, where you had almost identical value and identical production, but the where you drafted each player was so hilarious and different, it made it seem like you didn't get the value that you got for Toews, that you could have waited six rounds, drafted Braden Shen. It wasn't even six rounds. You could have picked him up off of after the draft as a free agent, and you would have gotten the exact same value.
Yeah, I mean, and I ranked Thornton that low. I would have ranked him lower. I just wanted to price him out of my range, basically. I hate owning guys like him that are just, they're so bad in a category that it buries you, but now he's not even getting the goals this year because he's not shooting as high of a percent as usual, which is, he should be when you only take that many shots. He's basically a two-category guy now, power play points and assists with decent penalty minutes. And the plus-minus is solid if you put it out over the year. He'll be double-digit plus, which is nice. But, I mean, I would take Reinhardt over him. If I own Thornton, which I don't anywhere, I would probably try to trade him based on name value because it's just such a hole. You're getting a blank in goals and shots. And it's not even a blank in shots. It's a big negative effect on your team to have a guy who just is averaging a shot a game. So, I mean, if I owned Thornton and Reinhardt was available on my league, would I make the move? I guess it depends on how bad you need the assists, but I wouldn't be opposed to it in all honesty.
Yeah, I'm, because it's one of those, I'm almost considering just dropping Joe Thornton because, yeah, the specialty points are nice.
I mean, it's a little different in a head-to-head. In a roto league, I would want nothing to do with Thornton. And then right. I would definitely make a move. In a head-to-head, it's fine. I mean, I would still hold him. I would probably try to trade him if I could, though. Just hope that someone bites on him based on the name. Like, I know a lot of people in the comments, like, they got to keep Thornton because he went later in drafts last year, and then he exploded, had his massive year. He was a point per game last year and got to keep him based on where they got him last year, so they got to keep him in a later round. So you weren't tied into a top 50 pick. But, I mean, he's not even going to come close to the top 100 at this point. Not when he's going to be a huge negative in the shots. It's very unmetrics friendly, as the basketball guys like to say when they look at the player raters, when they get the guys give you good percents. When the guy is going to bury you in shots and goals, really, from a forward, it's not good.
Yeah, the only thing keeping me alive in this league in terms of shots is that I own Brent Burns. So I believe he's still leading the league in shots, don't you?
Yeah, it's getting a bit closer.
Him and Jeff Skinner are pretty much, him, Jeff Skinner and Sagan are carrying the category.
Yeah.
But, I mean, again, it's the idea of you drafted Joe Thornton so early, and you're getting nowhere near the value that you needed to.
No, yeah. He needs to be, like, a 65 minimum, probably 70-point player to be worth that high of a pick when you consider the lack of shots. And, like I said, he's not even close to that at this point. What game you want to move to next? Capitals?
Yeah, I mean, that was the game of the night in my book. So.
Yeah, probably.
Let's go to this. Again, Austin Matthews with a ridiculous spin around behind the net to... Who was it that scored that goal? It was Komarov. Yeah, and then Komarov does the dick move and pats the defenseman on the shoulder. Saying, like, good try, nice stuff. Like, I would have beat the shit out of him. And then I believe it was Matt Larkin of the Hockey News said the Maple Leafs have a 2-goal lead going into the third period. Can only imagine how this one ends. Toronto's been known for giving up leads in the third period.
Yeah.
And, I mean, wouldn't you know it, within the first 3.5 minutes of the third period, the game becomes 4-4.
Right.
This was a Evgeny Kuznetsov Justin Williams show for regulation. I mean, 4.9 because Matsov is up to 25 on the year.
Yeah, we're finally starting to see some signs. I mean, here's the hoping that this is the game he can build off of. I mean, he only played 14 minutes, though, which I don't like to see, but, I mean, just keep him in and keep rolling him. Williams, I think, should be owned everywhere right now while he's this hot. I mean, he's had 16 points his last 15 games. Other way around, 15 points last 16 games. With the penalty minutes and good shots, and he's got to be owned everywhere right now. Carlson at 2 points. He's been disappointing, too. But I feel like the whole Washington Capitals offense is about to take off. I would be fine just holding him still. Orlov at a goal and assist. Would you hold him in a 12-er? It's kind of close, I think.
Yes, I would.
Yeah, I think so, too. I mean, it's a plus-minus boost, decent penalty minutes, strong assists. It's not bad. It's not great. It's a boring line, but I think it's fine to hold. Johansson, he had 2 assists.
I'm not thrilled about Johansson's play lately. Johansson's now an elite screamer.
I wrote in my thing, I'm still holding him, but it's a loose grip. I mean, I would be fine with cutting bait sooner than later if he goes through another, like, semi-cold streak. It's close. The production has still been there overall, but I don't know. It seems like it's slowing down quite a bit. And if the minutes dip any lower than where he is now, then I would definitely just cut him. And Ovechkin, goal on 5 shots, 6 penalty minutes. I mean, it seems like he hasn't done that much. And then you look and he's still on a 40-goal pace with, you know, well over 300 shots. And right now he's on pace for over 60 penalty minutes, which, I mean, it's not really that crazy. The last 3 years, 53, 58, 48. So, I mean, that safety is why you were taking him, or I had him ranked first, really.
Yeah, I think with the minutes, and I had to go back and check, because I felt like there was something odd and when I saw it the first time. Toronto had 6 power plays in this game, and I'm just looking at the minutes of some of these Washington guys. But Ovechkin only gets 16, 20.
Yeah, that's it.
And it's okay. Like, all right, now I'm starting to see why.
Right, Eller played 16 minutes. Yeah,
right, like Jay Beagle getting 13 minutes, and then you realize that 5.5 of those minutes were on the penalty kill. Okay, now we understand why. Maybe because Matsov only had 14 minutes of ice time.
Right.
Like, Johansson only had 13 minutes. All these skill guys outside of PJ Oshie pretty much did not have, and Backstrom did have a lot of ice time because they were shorthanded in
time. Yeah, that makes
sense. And it's still interesting that they're, even despite giving up or having 6 penalty kills, and Toronto was 2 of 6 in the power play, which is, again, excellent. You're still rolling your top leagues. Marner, Van Riemsdyk, I think Bozak is starting to become like a good screener.
I think Connor Brown, too, hit a goal on
That's a big one.
He's got 6 points the last 5 games playing with Matthews. He's definitely worth streaming. Same with Hyman. JVR, he had 2 assists and 6 shots. He's been great. And there's talk of them trading him for a defenseman, which I guess makes some sense considering, like, how strong their forward core is for the young guys, but at the same time, JVR is a beast. I mean, you're looking at a guy who's going to be over 60 points relatively easily. I don't know if I'd be in such a rush to move him, but there's been a lot of talk about it. You know, all the big TSN guys and stuff are reporting it, so there's some credence to it. I mean, for fantasy, I don't think it's going to matter too much where he ends up or whether he stays or where he goes, but you're looking at a guy almost taking 3 shots a game. Like I said, he's on pace for 30 plus 35 right now. I mean, Van Riemsdyk's been under the radar pretty great.
Yeah, especially with all the rookie talent and first-year talent they have there. Definitely flying under the national headlines.
Right.
For sure.
It's the same kind of deal as, like Wheeler's been forgotten a bit in Winnipeg because of the top line. But here he is chugging along with, you know, another 60 to 70 point season with great shots and pins. Like, Van Riemsdyk was hurt a bit last year, but, you know, he had 29 points in 40 games last year. Like, this isn't a... The stretch isn't a fluke by any means.
No, goaltending in this game was a crapshoot. I would advise... I think the only thing I'm going to say in terms of highlights, if you want to see bad defensive play in overtime, check out the Ovechkin goal.
Oh, God.
And Leo Komarov, I have no idea what he was doing with Carlson.
No.
Along the board. Then they pretty just, much said, here, go ahead. I want to watch this.
And then they just and left then, Ovechkin wide open.
It yeah, like, so of all the people to leave wide open on the off wing near, like, the face-off dot, I'm pretty sure Ovechkin is the last person in the league, other than maybe a healthy Stamkos, that you'd want to leave open over there and leave it to Toronto to do that.
Yeah.
And then another one, the TJ Oshie goal, patience going across the middle, holding onto the puck, and then just sniping the shit out of the top right was an absolute beauty.
Yeah, he's been very, very good this year. I mean, he missed some time, but you're looking at 19 points in 30 games, 12 goals, plus 14, you know, over two shots a game. He's been very, very solid this year, Oshie. Columbus extends the win streak to 16 games. Foligno scored, Atkinson scored, side assist. They're all on six-game point streaks now. Wenberg assist, Werenski assist, Bob gave up one goal. It's more of the same right now. It's they're just freaking rolling. I'm gonna predict right now though the streak ends tonight at Washington.
But, that'll be a very, very, very. I'm not gonna say many times it's a very, but it'll be a incredibly difficult game. I think
it's extremely exciting to see.
Yeah, it'll be by far the game of the night. Washington has been playing better lately. Columbus just absolutely shut down Edmonton. I feel like there's not even really much to talk about with Edmonton.
No.
It's starting to look like it's just McDavid, sometimes Dreisaitl, and then...
Eberle's had three assists in the last three games. He's been better lately. You know, he's 26 points in 39 games, 100 shots. You know, no Pally minutes. He's been fine. It hasn't hurt him too much being
I think part of it for me though is they're not trusting him. I mean, I'm looking at his ice time. Patrick Maroon's getting more time on ice. In no world should Patrick Maroon get more ice time than Jordan Eberle. And Maroon had a 5-minute major, which is Maroon was only available for 55 minutes of this game. Eberle was available for 60. Yeah, Maroon got more ice time than Eberle.
The minutes in this game are kind of weird, and Puyo played 12:41 only. Like, all the random forwards, though, like, Letestu played 14 minutes, Kajula played 15 minutes. It looks like McDavid and Drysdale got, like, in the big 20s, and other than that, everyone was in, like, the 13 to 15 range.
Yeah, except for Puyo Järvi, which I'm still trying to figure out why they even have him up if they're only going to give him 9 minutes.
Yeah, it seems just like a waste. It seems like they already burned his ELC here, but who cares? It's probably better. I mean, send him back to Europe, though, wouldn't they? Or could they
that
load
I don't
him to
know.
A juniors team? I think they could, but I don't know.
We saw
Minnesota do that with Eriksson Ek, though. I don't see why they couldn't do the same with Puljujarvi at this point. I mean,
yeah, I'm trying to think of. It's not like they have outside of the McDavid contract, which is going to hilariously kill their cap space. I'm really not certain where else the money is going to be going for Edmonton. I mean, looking around, you look around at their roster. It's not like they desperately need Puljujarvi to still have 3 years of eligibility on an actual contract.
Mm-hmm.
Like they've already started the clock. Like, he's not doing anything. If you're not going to play him, you're telling me there's no one in the minors that can play 9 minutes and 14 seconds for you up front? I mean, his stat line, goose eggs across the board and 2 penalty minutes with 9 minutes of ice time, that's horrific for the number 4 overall pick. You're just wasting time.
Yeah, it's a rough situation for sure. He's only got 2 shots the last 5 games. It's, I don't know. I still like him plenty as a prospect, but right now it's just... a bad situation for him to be in. The team, they're winning now. They're trying to win. They're trying to make the playoffs. They shouldn't be wasting him playing not even 10 minutes a game on the bottom line doesn't make much sense.
Yeah, they've got off to that really hot start, Edmonton. They've sort of tailed off a little bit since. I can't tell if it's just because they played a couple of Calgary games and Calgary was horrible at the beginning of the year. It's starting to look like they might not be as good as their record. In the case, they're either 19, 13, and 7. And, I mean, we can go into Columbus' record at 27-5-4. Tough to win at Columbus nowadays. But McDavid is completely blanked across the board. He had 3 shots and 2 penalty minutes and a takeaway. But, like, he's winning a third of his draws. Like, you're already out there for 22 minutes. I mean, Columbus just completely shut him down.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go to Columbus, and again, it's the same old guys. It's Atkinson with a goal. It's Wenberg with an assist. Although Wenberg putting up 3 shots in this game, I'm wondering who took over his body. Because Wenberg normally takes 1 shot, and then he's just done for the evening.
Yeah, the last 3 games, 3-2-3, which is nice to see. I mean, he's basically doing what you hope from Thornton, right? I mean, he's got 34 points in 36 games.
Yeah, that's what it is. He's Joe Thornton right now.
He's last year's Joe Thornton, basically, but with less penalty minutes. That's really what Wenberg's doing. If you want to see any of these great teams in person, Reed, where would you go to get your tickets?
I think I'd have to go to SeatGeek.
It's because you're a smart man.
Yeah.
SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to find tickets for the hockey games you want to see up close and in person this season. I have the SeatGeek app on my phone, and it's by far the easiest way I've found to shop for tickets. I can be anywhere, and with just a few taps, I can instantly find seats for this weekend or any game this season. SeatGeek is like Kayak for tickets. You always get the best deal because it compares prices for you by searching multiple ticket sites. Big green circle, great value. Tiny red circles, stay the hell away from those tickets. Every ticket you buy in SeatGeek is backed by their 100% guarantee, so you can shop for tickets with confidence. And best of all, the Razzball listeners get a $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. So to get your $20 rebate on tickets, download the SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab, and click add a promo code. Enter promo code RAZNHL, all caps. That's RAZZNHL. And SeatGeek will send you $20 after you made your first ticket purchase. So download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code RAZNHL today.
Awesome.
We got 3 games left. A couple of them will be quick. But the other high-scoring game of the day, which I said on Tuesday's podcast was going to be a 6-5 game. I was close. 6-4 Jets. Could have been 7-4. Ehlers hit the post on an empty netter to get a hat trick. He had 2 goals and an assist, 3 shots, 2 penalty minutes. It was my first real DFS sweat of the season, and of course I had him, and he hits the post. Would have got the hat trick bonus and everything. Would probably cost me, I don't know, $500 or so. But still, it was a good day on DraftKings for me. Anyway, Ehlers is at 34 points now in 40 games. I mean, you're looking at a 25-45 pace right now. It's outstanding, and he's been another guy. We talked about Wheeler being overshadowed. Wheeler had 2 assists, 4 shots, 2 penalty minutes in this game. I mean, he's just a machine. But Ehlers, even because of Scheifele and Laine, has been overlooked for how well he's played. He's definitely a top 50 player right now.
Yeah.
I mean, I had him ranked 90th. No one else. One other person had him 116. No one else was in the top 150 besides me. So he's been great. Ton of upside. Line A finally, you know, was in a mini cold streak. Goal, 2 assists, 4 shots, 2 penalty minutes. Same 34 points in 40 games like Ehlers, just with more goals. Scheifele, goal and assist. Of course, Ehlers hits a pulse. If you would have buried it, I would have got a 3rd point from him in the 3-point challenge. But nonetheless, I get another 2-point game. Scheifele, 35 points in 37 games with great penalty minutes shot. I mean, he's a 6th category stud right now. The one more recent development is Jacob Trouba had a goal and an assist, 2 shots, 2 penalty minutes. He's on a 4-game point streak. 12 points in 25 games, 50 shots, 18 penalty minutes plus 2. I think he's got to be a hold right now with the minutes he's getting. Just a good, solid stat line. I mean, you can expect over 82 games 60-ish penalty minutes with 40 points. I mean, maybe a little less than 40, maybe 35 points, but either way, it's definitely worth holding in my mind.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I'm just, if you even look at the box score here, take a look at the minutes here. The top three defensemen for Winnipeg.
Mm-hmm.
Tobias Enstrom, who we've written off as a fantasy relevancy for a couple of years now, but back in the day, he was pretty good.
Yeah, he was amazing.
27 minutes of time on ice.
Yeah, he was actually on the first unit. Yeah, Enstrom was on the first unit power play. So for, like, deep leagues, I would be fine with using him for, you know, power play assists, basically, and penalty minutes, but it's still not worth standard leagues. Yeah, Big Buff, 25 minutes.
Truba, 25 and a half minutes. I mean, those are the guys that, especially for teams that really only have three good defensemen,
mm-hmm.
this is how I would probably start rolling.
Definitely.
I think this is more of a key to success. Like I think Bufflin and Truba are definitely, I mean, you're always owning Bufflin.
Right.
Truba, I believe, is a hold. I agree with you there.
Yeah.
I think Enstrom's interesting. It'll definitely be something you want to keep an eye on with how much more power play time is there. Because Truba played 25 and a half minutes with only 19 seconds on the power play.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of, that says a lot. It was like 340 something on penalty kill, but still, that's still a ton of volume on the ice.
Right.
But Enstrom is one that I think, especially if we keep talking about how much of a ghost town fantasy defenseman I was.
Right.
The guy's putting up 27 minutes of ice time.
Yeah.
I think you almost, especially for a team that scores like Winnipeg, it's not like they're short on goal scorers up front. Even if it's just plus minus, he helps you.
Right. If he sticks in this role, I don't see why he couldn't be like TJ Brody from the last couple of years, where he's going to get like 35 to 40 assists, but he's not going to score and the shots are going to suck. So basically, if you need assists, you own him. If not, you leave him be. I could see Enstrom maybe playing his way back into that again. It's a rough day for Hellebuck and for Vasilevskiy especially. I mean, I'd keep rolling them, both of them. It's been a little discouraging for Vasilevskiy. He hasn't looked too great since Bishop went down. Offensively, Tampa, they're so gutted right now. It's all the top guys scoring again. Kucherov, 2 goals, assists, 7 shots. I mean, he's just incredible right now. He's probably definitely one of the best 10 players at the moment. Palat, goal on 3 shots with 6 penalty minutes. We've been saying for a couple of weeks, it must be owned everywhere. Yeah. Tyler Johnson, 2 assists on 3 shots, playing over 20 minutes. Same thing. Hedman, 2 assists, shot, 2 penalty minutes. I was extremely impressed with him. He was jumping into the play. I don't want to say it was like reckless abandon, but it kind of reminded me of Burns. Wow, how he perfectly times his spot to jump in the play regularly. And I mean, he's obviously not putting up the shots Burns is, but he's at 35 points in 39 games, and it didn't really look fluky the way he was playing.
He's been a point machine. He's been an all-around category monster for you this year. And it's not like he was one of the top defensemen drafted, because I thought, oh, well, Strawman will be the guy on the first power play. So like, well, no, now it's Hedman. And even without Stamkos there, Hedman has still been producing. You got to love what you're getting out of him.
Yeah, I mean, he's the number 2 defenseman right now overall, and it's not even that close. He's quite a bit ahead of Weber and Carlson. He's been incredible.
Yeah, I mean, Alex Killorn playing 21 and a half minutes, getting an assist on 2 shots. I mean, almost everybody besides the goalies had a good game.
Right.
And, from a fantasy value, Hedman was the only defenseman to pick up points for Tampa, but I'm looking around.
Every guy you would hold basically had a point. Drouin had a point, too.
Even your streamers had points, too.
Right. Nemestikov had an assist.
We talked a little bit about Matthew Pekka as well.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
his first goal of the year.
Yeah, it was a nice shot for him coming down the side.
13 and a half minutes. I mean, I know that's not a lot, but there was a lot of power play time and penalty kill time in this game. So obviously the minutes were going to be a little bit hamstrung, but even then, he still had 2 shots. I mean, had a hit and a block, especially in deeper leagues where you would have picked him up. Those are in with those other categories. I mean, you got a good night from him. For the most part,
definitely.
And I guess to go back, one thing I found funny for Toronto in the Toronto-Washington game, I was looking at the box score, and I had to do like a triple take. Every forward except Matt Martin and Nikita Shoshnikov had a point.
It's a good day at the office.
And then the only and then the only defenseman for Toronto to put up a point was the guy who's their sixth, probably their seventh defenseman, Connor Carey. which just tells you the absurdity of them.
Yeah.
And Morgan Riley was a minus three in that game, but that's besides the point. Well, I guess also Nikita Zaitsev had 22.5 minutes of ice time in that game. Again, something else important. Sorry for going back to it. I guess
should
have discussed it beforehand, but you look at like the forwards, like Tuesday night was a good night for fantasy hockey.
Definitely.
I think we should move on to the low scoring games.
Yeah, I mean Montreal, it was a great ceremony for Weber before the game. Check it out. I mean, he scored a goal on two shots. Radulov, he was getting booed the whole time. He had two assists, two penalties, two shots. He looked great. He's been hot again lately. Patch's goal on 10 shots are concerns about him earlier in the year. He's alleviated them to this point. Now he's back over 3 shots a game now, and wouldn't shock me if he gets back towards the 3.5 like he's been in the past. Carey Price, easy game. Pekka Rinne finally bounced back, had a huge game. 41 saves on 43 shots. I mean, he gave up the goal to Patches with like 20 seconds left in overtime. Maybe calling guys out would be the key to them turning it around. Just to hoping that it wasn't just one game for Rinne, because they got a big road trip coming up. Tampa, Florida, back-to-back starting tonight, and then Chicago Sunday. Nashville's in the thick of the battle. They can't really afford to drop too many games, so hopefully they get good goaltending. Fiala scored the goal on 3 shots. He's a solid streamer. That's really about it in that game, I think.
Yeah, I think, we always said that Jeff Petrie, if he somehow wasn't owned in any of your leagues, he easily picked up. He had one hit, 2 blocks. He was minus 1. He still had 2 penalty minutes, and he had 7 shots on goal. And he was getting power play time. I think it was the second unit. But still, yeah. He was getting power play time. And then I go up to Patrick Reddy. Yeah, he had the overtime winner. Guy had 10 shots on that.
Right.
I mean, that's almost one of those Brent Burns type, like, take over the game, category, single-handedly from one game down the league. Mm-hmm.
Petrie's just solid enough everywhere. I mean, the 2.5 shots a game from a defenseman is very good. Solid plus 13. He's on pace for, like, 15 goals, which obviously I don't expect, but even if it's like 12 goals and 25 assists, that 37 points would be more than enough with 2.5 shots a game and solid plus minus. So yeah, Petrie should definitely be owned at this point.
Yeah, I guess the one last thing for Montreal, Alexander Radulov had probably the most balanced stat line. He had 2 assists for 2 points. He was a plus 2. He had 2 penalty minutes. He had 2 shots on goal. He had 1 hit and 1 takeaway. 19 minutes, played 3:45 in the power play. If you took the chance on Radulov during the draft, you got to be thrilled with what you've been getting out of him.
Definitely. I mean, he was like point per game the first 20 games. Then he went through a cold stretch. Now he's going to point 4 straight again, so just keep rolling him.
Yeah. Let's go to the Kings and Sharks. I don't want to say it was a boring game. I guess I had no interest in it because normally these things are not very exciting in my book. That being said, your standard King scored and
Carter,
nice to see Logan Couturier on the board. Yeah, Carter with 2 points, Pearson, and Carter with goal, which is assisted by Martin and Kopitar, which I wouldn't expect to be assisted by anybody else for the most part other than Dowdy. I mean, again, the minutes, Muzzin was even the top 3.
Now Martinez is getting huge minutes right now. Martinez is kind of close to
This Forbert guy is getting minutes too. Although 7 different ways might not be the best stat to have for a defenseman, but
It was a career high 25 minutes for him. He's solid option in deep leagues because he's racked up hits and blocks. But in a standard league, it's okay for penalty minutes, but that's about it. Peter Budaj, 26 saves and 27 shots. Who would have knew the Kings had a better goalie than Jonathan Quick sitting in their minor leagues. kind of a hot take, but he's at a .921 save percentage, which is better than Quick's had in the last 5 years. Budaj has been great if you're able to pick him up. He's been a number one to this point, and obviously he's going to lose his job when Quick comes back, but I mean, this kind of it feels to me just like a perfect example of like why Quick to me has always been incredibly overrated, because his numbers, considering the team in front of him, aren't that great. He had his two incredible runs, you know, kind of Eli Manning-esque in that regard, where when he played his best, the team won, but otherwise he's somewhat of a detriment back there. It'll be interesting to see how he does when he comes back from injury this year. For the Sharks, yeah, I mean, Coach Drew scored, and Kevin LeBlanc had another assist. He's become a decent streamer. Jones was strong in net. It's more of the same for the Sharks.
Yeah, again, Burns for 26 minutes. Four penalty minutes helps you out. Only one shot. Yeah, Sharks pretty much straightforward again. The assist goal is not what you were expecting. Pavelski, two shots. Filling the three shots on goal, which I'm just amazed by it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. There really wasn't too much. Martin Jones still had a good game.
Yeah. He's been... I wrote in my notes this morning, like, he's been far away from the top five, but he's also, like, the clear-cut number six goalie to this point. I mean, he's been his number one throughout the whole year.
Yeah, so let's take a look at these games, just for the clearance for today, January 5th. All right, I guess any of those guys that you were talking about, if you want to do daily fantasy... With just one player, where would you go?
I would have to go to the no halftime, man.
Yeah, that's right, no halftime. You can do one-on-one challenges now for fantasy players. You can do Crosby versus McDavid, Ovechkin versus Tarasenko, or even do a sneaky one like Aho versus Teravainen, which, good luck, that'll be a tie on the second point. you can play your lower tier players against each other, like Jimmy Hayes versus Matt Martin. the boys against each other. You can't put coaches against each other, I don't think. But
no.
If that you would want to do that in the first place. You have challenges that are either private or public, and you choose. We have a group called Razzball Hockey that's public, and everyone can join. They have tons of sports, NHL, NFL, NBA, EPL, Major League Baseball, golf, NASCAR, you name it, they probably got it. So what are you waiting for? Join today and get started. Real money and fancy fantasy awaits you. There are $0 challenges as well. You just want to get your feet wet. Download the app off your iPhone or Android device. Tweet out the info if you don't have time as well. You can follow us at RazzballViz, ReadCast17, and at Razzball. That's all be in the post as well. You can make things better. We got a promo code for all of you, so you get excited. The promo code is Razz, NHL, R-A-Z-Z. You get 10 free bucks in your account when you enter. That lets them know that you can't much, so they can keep sponsoring this, so we can keep doing this, so we can keep doing their sponsorship promotion, and then, you know, the whole circle. So what do you have to lose? You also receive a free t-shirt and make the first deposit, so you don't have to lose more and buy a shirt. No halftime or the fancy sports season is ever free to play. Okay. Looking at some of these games, I think it's almost time for the three-point show.
Yeah.
Like you said before,
Washington-Columbus is the marquee game. That and then Wild at Sharks at night is a nice nightcap. Players to like, I mean, Tampa-Nashville's got potential for a high-scoring game the way Tampa's playing right now. L.A., Detroit, who the hell knows with how the Kings are. Chicago should take care of the Sabres, but I guess you don't know, and you can't take Kane and Panarin anyway. Blues should probably take care of Carolina, but again, you can't take Tarasenko. Not really anyone standing out. I mean, I'll run through the top 10. Malkin, McDavid, Crosby, Tarasenko, Panarin, Atkinson, Kucherov, Sagan, Kessel, Patty Kane. I don't even know where to even start
You know what? I'm going to let you go first because you were close this last time. This is tough.
Yeah, this is a messy set of games. I mean, I feel like Bob Holtby is going to be the key man. I don't think it's going to be as much of a high-scoring game. I could be completely wrong. It definitely has the potential to be a high-scoring game, but I feel like that's going to be a tighter game. I don't really like the guys in the team. You know, Jeff Carter is definitely near the top of my list. It's a good spot for the Kings, but the Red Wings will be on a back-to-back. Minnesota Sharks, too, just feels like it's going to be a low-scoring game. I'm going to go a little bit off the board, not completely off the board, but I'm going to take Philippe Forsberg. Tampa's playing wide open right now, and Forsberg, yeah, he didn't get a point against Montreal the other day, but he had a point three straight before that. Minutes are starting to come up. He's been scoring, and Vasilevskiy just doesn't look right to me, so I'm going to try to get some exposure to a Nashville guy, and, you know, Johansson would be obviously a fine choice, too, because he racks up the assists, which you need to get there. But, I don't know, I got a feeling this game's going to be another one of those high-scoring games for Tampa, and I'm going to go with Forsberg.
Yeah, so I was looking at this, and, again, we can't take the David, but something tells me Edmonton might just take out some substitutions on Boston. I don't think Boston has any shutdown defensemen that are quick enough to deal with McDavid. Part of me wants to take Dreisaitl just because they'll probably put Chara and someone, or they might put Krug against McDavid, and that leaves Dreisaitl playing against Clinton Barber.
Right.
But I'm not going to go there. Washington Columbus, it could be another Western team, but or an Oshie game, since Oshie plays well against Russian goaltenders, and Bobrovsky isn't that Russian. But I was looking at the same game you were, but not for Forsberg. I'm actually thinking about taking Ryan Johansson here.
Yeah.
And again, we
the
talked
guy
about
said it makes sense. I mean,
yeah, we talked about it. Tampa's playing wide open and not in a good way for them. Vasilevskiy looks like garbage right now, and it's making me think that you might try and move him instead of Bishop. Holy cow. I don't like Detroit to even have the puck at all against the team.
No, that's why I kind of like Carter. He's been playing really well. I don't know, though.
It's just tough to pick that.
It feels like Detroit's going to pack it in, considering they'll be on a back-to-back. I don't know. He's a reasonable option. Like I said, I don't know. We came to the same conclusion about Nashville. I don't know. It's a good spot even for, you know, Johnson, too. Palat, Drouin. I think that both top lines, kind of like the Jets-Lightning game on Tuesday, both top lines could do really well in this game, too.
Right, but there's a catch. The interesting one is Buffalo at Chicago. And, yes, you cannot take clean up the air. But none of the Buffalo Sabres are in the top 10. The Sabres are still in the top 7 in terms of power play. Chicago is second to last, only because Buffalo is last. And you look at Eichel starting to come on. Reinhardt is putting up points for you. Ocposo has a good amount of points right now. O'Reilly looks like he's going to be back for this game, which would be a surprise considering he had drafted Beckham about a week ago.
Yeah.
I think. Ristolainen could also be sneaky. He's gotten a little bit older than he was before. So, part of me wants to stick with the hometown team and go with like an Eichel or a Reinhardt. But I'm going to, just for the sake of people who say it first, I'm going to go with Johansson. But I would not be surprised if Eichel or Reinhardt puts up 3 points.
I wouldn't be surprised if Anisimov did it either. Because the same thing, the Sabres penalty kill is so bad that if Chicago does get a few power plays, he could get it too.
Yeah, they're the only team, the Sabres are the only team that I've seen this season that on the penalty kill play passive and don't pressure guys with the puck. And they have the worst penalty kill in the league, but they'll keep doing the passive thing because apparently that works somehow.
Yeah, I mean, it's dumb. There's no other way to put it. Yeah, that game, I think it's either going to be a super high-scoring game if the teams are taking a lot of dumb penalties, or it's going to be a lower-scoring game otherwise. Like you said, these two penalty kills are just so dreadful, and the power plays are solid. I mean, Chicago hasn't been great, but they're still top half, and the Sabres are top 10. So, yeah, that'll be an interesting game, too.
Yeah.
If you got a better grasp of this slate than I do at the moment, and you want to get in on a full-team DFS action, go to fanpicks.com. If you just register for an account and put the promo code RazNHL all caps in, you'll get 10 free, they call it voucher dollars, to try out any of their contests and entry into a free roll this weekend for one of, you can get to choose out of three tournaments, NFL one for the weekend, NBA, or golf, actually, where you got nothing to lose. You don't even have to deposit yet to get that, to get the free $10 bonus dollars. So, you can do cross-sport leagues on here, which are pretty cool. You get to pick between NHL and NFL or NHL and NBA. Like I mentioned before, they got the Magic Million, which is a very cool tournament setup where they guarantee all this extra money if you hit a big score. I wish some of the other slates did that, because with my score yesterday in hockey, it would have been a nice bonus on top of the win. So if you want to check out a new innovative DFS site, fanpicks.com, promo code RazNHL, all caps. I think that's about it for Thursday's games and everything altogether.
Yeah, this one went a lot longer than I expected.
Yeah, whatever.
You guys get to listen to our silky smooth voices a little bit longer. But we do it for you guys.
It was good to update, you know, all these teams that there hasn't been too many games, and we've been more focused on injuries lately and two or three big stories instead of hitting all the games again. So it was good to do that and update.
Yeah,
you know,
we definitely
have to leave. You know, a little more than half the league.
Talked about a lot of teams that normally we don't really get to talk about.
That's true.
Especially Vancouver. Yeah. That was a big one. There's definitely three bigs on that team.
Yeah. I mean, they started off the year, they won four straight, and they're on another four-game win streak. I mean, again, it should slow down. But that line should be scoring. I mean, the Berchi-Horvat line, I mean, they got some talent, man. It's good to see, because at the beginning of the year, they were winning, but it just seemed so fluky. They were getting great goaltending. And even though the Sedins have slowed down, they've finally got some nice supplementary pieces again.
Yeah, I agree. But that should be it for us, everybody. Have a good weekend. Hopefully your team do very well and beat up any opponents. Again, for the three-point contest, just insert it in the comment section. We'll get a shout out. Did anyone get it last week?
No. Yeah. No one the last two times. So yeah, somebody get on the board. Someone hunt down Reed.
Yeah, I'm trying. Yeah, so that'll be it for us, everybody. Again, we'll see you next week. Just hit subscribe. Keeps us going. So, and it gives Liz some nice things and goes with that. So. Alright, that's it for us, everyone. Again, like, it was fun, but it really is. So, take care, and have a good day.